This is the Two Men and Their Babies podcast, where two mates talk nonsense about becoming dads. This time around, Greg catches us up on his daddy-daughter day with his audio diary, Aaron gives an update on solid foods, and we've got allergy news.
Hello and welcome back to the Two Men and Their Babies podcast, the podcast where two friends talk about becoming dads for the first time. As always, it's me, Greg, in sunny, sweaty Derbyshire, and my colleague, friend and co-host, Aaron, in beautiful, sunny Sunderland. How are you doing?
I'm in the northeast wing of Two Men Towers.
Yep, that's it, yeah. Northwest branch, Northwest division.
Whoa, northeast.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Come on.
Of course it is. Yeah, my geography was well off then. I want to start things off this episode, if I can, with a special first edition.
Go on.
Well, my first this episode is basically I had my first daddy-daughter solo day out last Friday.
Yeah.
Because Christine had to go back to work just for one day. She's now off for 6 weeks as a teacher. She's off for the 6 weeks holiday, but she had to go back to work for one day, basically.
Is she Boris Johnson? Badum-tish.
Yeah, we'll leave that one. That's not for our podcast. That's a different podcast altogether.
It's good timing, though.
Yeah. I suppose if you date in the podcast a little bit with that.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone. Right.
But yeah, so she had to go back for work for one day. So I decided to keep a bit of an audio diary as I went through the day.
Right.
I mean, I'll be honest, nothing particularly exciting happened. It was a steady old day, but I'm sure you'll hear that in the clips, to be honest.
I've said this about Lily. The children do not respect what we're trying to achieve here, do they? They know the pressure's on, let's have some content, that's when they go, right, but I'm just going plain sailing today.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, though, a good story, good content, normally comes from...
Disaster.
Disaster happening, yeah. And that is the issue, because obviously we wouldn't wish any disasters on our children.
No.
But it does make incredibly boring listening.
Right, let's hear it. Tell me what you did.
We started at the beginning, obviously. The drive into work to take Christine. Right, so we are in the car. We are driving Christine to work for her first day back in 8 months. How do you feel about leaving your baby for the first time? Not too good.
No. And it's days I'm going a bit slowly. I'm not teaching anything, I don't think, unless they give me something to do. And I'll miss her.
Will you?
And I'll be counting down the hours and the minutes.
Yeah.
It's a little drag.
Well,
but at least it's only one day.
You might be getting a phone call from me halfway through. Probably. I might have to bring it to you to be fed.
Please do that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway.
They can
all say hello.
She looks pretty tired, so I'm not sure if she's going to make it the car journey and back home. So I will keep you updated. Say bye for now.
Say bye for now.
Yeah, so obviously she was a little bit anxious about it, but I think, to be honest, getting back to work for the day was kind of looking forward to it in a way as well, because I suppose when you're going back full time, it's probably going to be a bit daunting, but when you're just going back for one day, it's more like just catch up with your friends, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I had, so in my head, I had a bit of an early nap routine worked out.
Okay.
As I go on to explain.
Right, we have just dropped Christine off at school. It's 8:27 now. I'm hoping to try and get her some breakfast in before she has a nap. But she got up a bit earlier than expected today, so she's got tired earlier than expected too. I'm trying to keep her awake in the car so I can give her some breakfast and put her to sleep. But if she does fall asleep, then we'll have to reassess, I suppose.
So
So you had a plan.
Sounded like a good plan, yeah?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in life, all good plans.
Yep, it's 8:33 and she's fallen asleep. So that did not go to plan. I'm literally 3 minutes from home, so I'm going to try and transfer her to her cot, I think. Otherwise, I'm going to be driving around for the next hour and a half.
That was a sigh of resignation at the end there, because yeah. Literally 5 minutes after I'd made my grand gesture of the plan, it was all falling apart already. She was fast asleep in the car, bless her. But like I say, we were only a couple of minutes from home, so I did try and scoop her out. And to be honest, I needn't have worried.
Transfer successful. We are at 8:55 in the morning and I have carried her from the car and successfully got her into a cot. She's been asleep for 20 odd minutes now, so she seems pretty settled. So hopefully I might get a little bit of peace. I'm going to get her swimming stuff ready. That's the plan, I think, because the weather isn't great. So I'm thinking I'm going to take her for a little swim this morning after some breakfast. When she does wake up, it might be more like brunch by the time she wakes up, but I'm sure she's not too fussy.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was the plan. So basically, bit of brekkie, go for a swim. In the end, we both ended up eating some breakfast.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
It's now 9:46. We are enjoying some mashed avocado on toast. And when I say enjoying, I mean, she's like, well, you can probably hear her. She sounds like an absolute demon because she's desperate for it. Love it, don't you? And she's actually, for the first time, just offered me some of her food, which sounds lovely and sweet, but I mean, she did pull it out of her own mouth first before then putting it into mine. So I suppose everything has its pluses and minuses.
It did sound sweet until that. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, like, as the parent bird regurgitates food back into the babies, this was a kind of a change of roles.
Reversal. Yeah, I like it. Good.
Yeah. Oh well, I'm glad you did. I wasn't overly keen. I didn't turn her down because I didn't want to upset her, really.
She'd gone to a lot of bother for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool. And then we ended up, I got in the car, had a drive. I'll be honest, swimming kind of went without a hitch. There's nothing really to tell. There was one interesting thing that happened to me in the pool, though.
Just finished swimming. All went pretty well, actually. Interesting thing did happen, though. I was chatting to a guy in the pool. He was swimming with his daughter, too, and we were just chit-chatting, as you do. He'd asked how I managed to get a day off in the week from work, and I asked him the same. It turns out he used to work in a calendar factory, but he'd just got the sack. He'd taken a couple of days off.
Oh, God. I knew from about 3 seconds in, I went, oh, no, here he goes. Right, okay.
Used to work in a calendar factory, but he got the sack for taking some days off.
I'm glad that you sort of used the foresight to get one of them in this. Wow. Right.
But in all seriousness, swimming did go off without a hitch. After the swimming, I sat in the car and took a little bit of time for reflection and contemplation.
Well, that swimming finished. We're all dried. We're in the car. So, and sorry to disappoint you, but it was fairly uneventful, really. We had a nice time. We're in the water for about 40 minutes in a rubber ring, splashing round. And that's about it. Nothing very exciting, I'm afraid. What I do find amazing is, I mean, she's what, 9 months old now? Nearly. And she was in the rubber ring, and I had a duck in the water with her. And she's kicking her legs, breaststroke style, to get to the duck, which I find amazing, because I've not taught her that. It's just naturally ingrained in them, I guess. Like water babies or whatever, I don't know, but it's amazing, really. I mean, I know you have to have swimming lessons at some point, which makes me think that maybe they actually forget, that they unlearn or forget the natural skill of swimming that they're born with, which is weird. So maybe if I just keep taking her on a weekly basis, like, she won't sort of forget that natural skill, I guess. So I'm going to stick with it. But yeah, in terms of dramas, fairly uneventful. Sorry.
Thoughts?
I like the sorry at the end. Sorry. Thoughts. I mean, it's a nice idea, but I don't think that's how it works.
No, it is weird, because it's proper, like... Oh, sorry about the dogs, if you can hear picking that up.
I can, yeah.
Yeah, because we've got all the windows open. We are having a bit of a heat wave at the minute, aren't we? So we've got all the doors and windows open. But yeah, she does like proper breaststroke legs and propels herself forward, which I find amazing.
Yeah, it's mad. It's just instinct. But I don't think if you just keep taking her that she'll never... I mean, those will become her lessons, won't they, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, what are lessons? But I don't want to get as contemplative as you.
No. That's true. Yeah, no. Let's swiftly move on. The bit I was kind of worried about, if you like, building up to this day, was the sleep patterns, because we have got in a habit where she falls asleep feeding quite a lot on Christine.
I think you told me, like, especially in the day as well.
Yeah, won't take the bottle. It's really more of a comfort thing than a hunger thing that she has. You know, she feeds off Christine before she goes down. So I had been worrying that. The first nap was obviously easy, because she'd fallen asleep in the car and she was knackered, because she'd woken up earlier than she normally would with Christine going back to work. So, the all-important second nap was still to be conquered.
Well, it's 12:55. And I don't mean to sound cocky, but she's napping, she's had a lunch. It's pretty easy, this, you know. Yes, I might be tempting fate, but I'm nailing this.
I really want you to get your comeuppance for that, mate.
She'd only been asleep for about 5 minutes. So I was really risking it.
Yeah.
Putting that recording in. And if you thought that was cocky, I'm going to have to apologise in advance. And I also need to apologise in advance for a double helping of puns that are coming up in this next clip.
God.
She's been asleep in her cot now for about 50 minutes. I was a little bit worried about her napping. That was my main concern, because Christine's, you know, she's used to Christine putting her to sleep and feeding her to sleep as well. But unless she was just super tired from the swimming, it actually went, swimmingly, really. I gave her some lunch. I gave her some milk, but in a Tommy Tippy cup, a couple of ounces probably. We went upstairs for a bit. I went through sort of a evening routine, if you like, getting her ready for bed. We listened to a bit of Twinkle Twinkle, a little star on the Alexa, and that was it. I rocked her to sleep for about 5 minutes on my chest. She was in a deep sleep, so I put her down in the cot, and I say, touch wood, so far so good. 50 minutes in, still sleeping like a baby.
I'm genuinely hearing these clips for the first time as we're recording this, but I'm going to have to put them back in using my wonderful wizardry. But I can hear you as we listen to them together, and I did like that on both puns, which might not make it into the final, like, cut of the podcast.
Yeah.
You went, pun.
Just underlining it for you.
Yeah, pun. Like, pun. Oh yeah, thanks, yeah, didn't see that.
Bloody hell.
Right, so then we moved on. In the next clip, it's nearly time for Christine to get back.
Yeah.
You can tell this at the start of the clip, I think, because even though I've been quite cocky up to this point, there's a definite distinct change in my tone, I think you'll hear at the very start of this clip. Okay. And I think it's probably a bit of a mixture of arrogance and, if I'm being honest, a bit of relief.
Right.
She's up. She slept for an hour and 50. Good result. We are just on our way to pick her mother up from work. Exactly, Owls.
Yeah, can you? Did you get that tone change?
You seem, I don't know, you seem pleased with yourself.
That's what I mean. I think it was relief and arrogance. Like, yes, I've finished this.
You've climbed the mountain.
Yeah, there's now, like, there's very little time left that anything can go wrong.
Yeah.
So pretty good. And then I think all that was left really was just a little bit of time left for a bit of a smug roundup.
Well, that's just about it, I think. Back from picking Christine up. Ollie's just about to have some dinner. She's just in a high chair ready to go. Pretty successful day in all. Nothing negative to report. Pretty boring to listen to, I'd imagine, but there you go. If I had to give myself a mark out of 10, I'd say 11.
Oh, God.
And that's it. That concludes Daddy Daughter Day.
I have one question. Just one.
Okay. I'm impressed that that's all you've got. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really about the day as such. When you gave that smug roundup, was your wife within earshot?
No, she was upstairs.
Oh, good. That's fine. Yeah. That's all. I was just worried about your general health, mate.
No, that's it. Yeah, she was well out of earshot. It was just me and the little one, and she can't speak yet, so we're okay.
Good. So, a totally, like, what? Like, casualty-free day?
Yeah, absolutely. We did
eventless.
It. I mean, the swimming, you know, we were in there for about 40 minutes. She loved it. Yeah, it all went really well. Like I say, my main concern was the sleeping, and that went really well as well. I mean, the swimming helped because it just absolutely, you know, it tires people out, doesn't it? Whether you're an adult, whether you're a baby or whatever. If you go for a decent swim, it absolutely tires you out anyway.
Yeah,
so
it's knackering, yeah.
I think that probably helped. But yeah, all in all.
Speaking as a man who hasn't swam in, I mean, it'll genuinely be coming close to 2 decades, and I'm not that old. But yeah, it's not going to.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I suppose wading around in a pool somewhere doesn't count really, does it?
No, not at all. But it's been a long time since I went actually swimming. As an adult, I've taken a lifetime ban because I have a novelty tattoo of a celebrity on my back. And
whoa. We're not just leaving it at celebrity.
Never leave it out there. It's fine. Celebrity.
We're definitely, well, I'm definitely putting a picture of this on Twitter and I'm going to tell everybody.
Yeah, but wait, if I just leave it as celebrity, then I can say what I want about him.
in case of libel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't libel him, but I mean.
Mate, you've got his face tattooed on your shoulder. I think that's devotion, if nothing else.
I don't even like him.
It's Phil Collins.
Yeah. It's Phil Collins, yeah.
And there's no reason for it.
No.
No.
Arrogance.
Welcome to my world.
11 out of 10.
11 out of 10.
on the back of your little daddy daughter day that you've done, mm-hmm. I'm currently at the tail end of our own little one. So it's currently 9 p.m. as we record this. We're doing it sort of late into the evening. But last night, Rebecca and her friend Emily, they had this thing booked when Beck was pregnant. Mm-hmm. But because obviously, as we've gone through on the pod, she was in hospital with the preeclampsia. They had to reschedule it. I don't know that there is a name for it. She told me, but essentially, what they were doing was like making this thing out of glass, and then it gets heated in the oven, and then they've got this ornament thing. It's like a little crafty class thing that they did. They like to make things, these two.
Yeah.
So they went and did that last night, which left me on daddy daughter evening. So it was my responsibility to put her to bed for the first time, like sort of solo. We watched The Simpsons.
Yeah, good.
I didn't think, oh, I'll record this. It didn't have clips, so you just have to take my word for it. But we watched some classic Simpsons. We gave her a bath. I put her to bed, and it was, and I'm using Beck's own words here, the single best night's sleep she's ever had.
Wow.
This morning, Beck went, well, you have to put her to bed forever now.
Yeah.
That was absolutely without a hitch. And then today, Beck and Emily, the same pal, they've been for a spa day. So I've had Lily up to Newcastle for the afternoon, just as a sort of a day out, which was, again, as unremarkable. I mean, they really don't care about this podcast. She slept all the way there, even though the traffic was awful and parking was a nightmare. I had to wake her up when we got there. She walked around. Well, she didn't walk around. I walked around the city centre with her in the pram, and she just looked at stuff and seemed very happy and laughed at everything. I sat her down, had a bottle. She had a bottle. I had a pint of shandy. We came home. No drama. What is, like, she could have at least kicked off.
But there is another way of looking at this, you know. Yes, the baby
good girl.
Yes, the babies are boring, but it also might solidify our competence as fathers that we're having such eventless days.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty confident about it. I've done well.
Yeah. Well, that's probably, again, solidifying our the justification of us doing this podcast. Like, maybe people can take our advice seriously.
Yeah, it's only taken like 6 months for me and 9 for you.
Yeah, I'm only just getting my head around it now, to be honest. But no, good. So, like, eventless, but in the best possible way.
We also have tonight a first right now happening, which is Lily's first night in her cot. And therefore, wow, her room. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm really excited about it because it means we get to sleep with the window open tonight in our room. And as you've mentioned already, it is very hot. Mm. And because of remember I said last time about the grow blind, the blackout one. Yeah. That just sort of adds another layer of heat.
Of course, yeah.
So now that she's next door and she seems to be all right so far, I mean, touch wood, it means I can have the window open and not, I'm eating extra portions in the day just because of how much lighter I wake up in the morning. It's that hot.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I mean, firstly, that is a big step. I found it really strange the first day or two. I was, because I'd all the way through the 6 months I'd been sort of saying, look, you don't want to keep them in too long, they need to sort of learn to be in their own space and be comfortable with that. When it actually came to moving her, I felt really weird. I felt like something was missing that first night or two. It was really weird.
I'll let you know if that's the same.
Is weird. But I'll be honest, it does pass. It's nice to get your bit of freedom back. Definitely. And obviously, because, you know, all those, every single little noise, you're just waking up, aren't you, all the time? Whereas you get you get to the point now where the you know, they might wake up and stir for a bit and move around for a bit, but then they settle themselves again. So it's like, well, you can just sort of let them get on with it a little bit more now.
So right now, as we record, Beck is a few feet away from me, just sort of pottering about, putting some laundry away. Mm-hmm. In the future, when she hears the last bit of sentence that you've just said there, and I say, oh, yeah, she will either hit me or give me an eye roll so violent that she may as well have hit me. So, yeah, I'll let you know about that bit as well.
Yeah, yeah, keep us updated.
She looks intrigued. So, obviously, last time around was our little, well, we said holiday special, but the only thing special about it was you just got back and I was going.
Yeah.
And that when we mentioned it. That's it.
Yeah.
But while we're away, I mean, obviously, I sent you a couple of videos and stuff of it happening, but you'll know Lily tried food for the first time, like a baby food stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When we were away, we had originally intended on like sort of doing like sweet potato and carrot and collie and stuff like that for her. However, it wasn't until I think we might have already been in the car, we realised that where we were going probably didn't have a blender.
No, probably not. So, it's not standard.
And it hadn't occurred to us to pack them. I mean, I've got two different kinds of blender at home. Like one, I've got a whizzer, like a handle one, and then like a one where it sort of sits as like a ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Didn't occur to us to pack either of those. We were in the car. So the first ones we did, we had from we went to a supermarket. Where did we go, darling? You're here.
Aldi.
We went to Aldi. That's where we get our nappies and stuff from as well. And she had a strawberry, like a Greek yogurt with strawberries in it, and seemed to love that one. We did try baby rice, which some things say, yeah, absolutely try the baby rice. And other people say, don't bother with the baby rice. But we had a go. It seemed at least defensive.
Yeah, so Ollie tried that, didn't like it particularly. And then the second time we tried it with it, we just mashed some banana up and put it in with it.
I think Beck might have done similar the other day. Mm. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask. But she also had like a sweet potato one as well, and an apple and banana mashed one. And I mean, apart from the first two mouthfuls of everything that she's eaten so far, she seems to absolutely love it all. Particularly when we did get back, and obviously we've been at home now for about a week, sweet potato and carrot, where Beck has sort of prepared it, and she's, you know, she's done a load similar to what you've done, where she's done a handful of sweet potatoes and then we freeze them off, so we've got some to go for the future.
Yeah.
I mean, I fed her the other day when me and Beck went out for a cup of coffee with a pot of sweet potato. She wolfed it, damn it. She hounded that. It was ridiculous. They're like maybe the first three mouthfuls, oh, I'm unsure of this. The next sort of five, like, yeah, whatever, and then just went overdrive.
Yeah.
You'd think she hadn't eaten for a month.
Yeah,
well, that's she seems to love it.
That's the same as what we get with Ollie. I'm sure you could just hear in one of those clips before, like in between mouthfuls, she's going, because she just wants more and more all the time. You can't shovel it in quick enough for her, the greedy little sod.
And how's Ollie's eating?
So, well, yeah, I wanted to give you a bit of a dairy-free update, as it was.
Yeah, it's been a little while on that one.
Yeah, so, well, we saw the consultant. They told us to go on this dairy-free diet. We were trying to get a follow-up appointment because we hadn't heard anything. So we've got a follow-up appointment booked in.
Okay.
Now, that was for last Monday. So the Friday before that, so like only 3 days before that, she'd been fine all day. I'd been giving her dinner about 5:30 in the evening. Mm-hmm. And she'd had a couple of different bits. I was giving her, I think it was scrambled egg and beans on toast. And Christine had been making some vegan brownies because of this dairy-free diet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She had this paste, like a butter substitute, I guess, which had almond oil in it.
Okay.
And so we'd given her that for a dinner. She'd been fine all day. While she's eating, she starts making like funny sort of groany noises, like uncomfortable noises. And we've just put it down to some teething pain or something like that. And then she started scratching the top of her chest like crazy, wouldn't stop scratching it. And so we thought, again, it's just a bit of her eczema playing up or whatever. So Christine's taken her upstairs about, I don't know, half an hour later. We've cleaned her up and everything, thinking she might have got something on her skin and it's irritating her. Christine's tried to put her down in a cart and she's absolutely exploded. We're sick. And I don't mean like, you know, like the refluxy type of stuff that she's always done. I mean, her big girl cart, she covered the mattress top to bottom.
Oh, God.
It was, really light. And it came out with such a force, like a proper projectile sort of force, that it just went everywhere. And she just wouldn't stop itching. Then she got up, she was tired and she was upset, but she was scratching so much. So she definitely had a reaction to something. So at that point, we were fine because she wasn't being sick anymore. She did. I think she had one more sick afterwards, just a little one. She wasn't being sick anymore. She wouldn't stop scratching, but we put some cream on her. I got her back to sleep. She kept waking up, kept scratching. She slept on my chest again, like she used to in the old days, for about an hour, because I think because her tummy was playing up, basically. She wasn't comfortable lying down, she had to sleep on my chest.
Oh.
So then we thought, well, we've got this appointment Monday, this with a consultant, so we'll go and see him. So Christine got there, she went through exactly what had happened, and he went, right, let's give her a blood test. What do you think she might be allergic to? Because we can't test the blood for everything.
Yeah.
Because there's too many things. So you have to give me a list
of things.
Loads of things. So you have to give me a list of stuff that it could be, and I'll get that tested. So that's fair enough. So did that blood test. Now, we'd got an appointment through that morning to see an allergy clinic in October, which is like, again, to date the podcast, it's like 3 months away.
Yeah, that's a while away, yeah.
Yeah, which we thought was a bit mental. Anyway, she's come out of the consultant's office and literally 2 hours later, the phone's gone and it's the allergy clinic saying they've found an appointment for Wednesday.
That's a bit more realistic.
That's some movement, yeah. So, Wednesday being today.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's been today to see the allergy clinic. They've got the results of a blood test back. And it turns out that Ollie is allergic to egg, which is...
What a massive red herring the almond oil was earlier then.
Yeah, well, that was only because it could have been any of them, because that was the first time she would have had almonds. So we didn't know, really, because I've given her egg before, this is a thing, and she didn't have that reaction. But apparently, when you first get an allergy... your symptoms can increase.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I work with a girl who is she's got an allergy to nuts, or some nuts at least. Mm-hmm. And she told me the same thing, and I'd never heard that before. That like the first time that she got it was they gave her on like a traffic light thing, so she had like an amber reaction. Mm-hmm. And then the next time it kicked off, it was worse.
Yeah,
that would be red, not green.
So that's, the red for danger normally.
Yeah.
That is what must have happened. Like, she would have had a reaction before, but just not that severely. Mm-hmm. So when she went to the allergy clinic today and they gave her the results of that, they also did their own tests for various things. They do the prick test where they...
Talk to the dad.
That's the best joke of the evening. they do the prick test, which is they prick with a I don't know, Christine said the technical name for it, but it's basically it's a chemical or something that they use as like the to compare everything else against. So you're definitely going to have a reaction to this thing. Yeah. And we'll see how big the red circle is that comes. And then everything else is compared to that.
Right, I've got you. That's like your baseline one.
Like your marker, yeah. She wasn't allergic to anything, like nuts or any of that. But egg whites, I believe, was... The test circle was 5 millimetres in diameter.
Yeah.
The egg whites came out at 3 millimetres, so quite allergic. And the yolks came out at 2 millimetres, so a little bit less. Now,
I happen to know, because obviously I'm a scientist, that 3 plus 2 is 5, and an egg has a white...
I don't think it works like that, Mr. Scientist.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think it works like that, yeah.
But, sorry for being light of this scenario as well.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's not... It's probably not...
You know what the crack is now.
Yeah, and the thing is, they say that it doesn't get passed on as much through breast milk, but it will still get passed on. And the thing with Christine is she's not a big egg eater, but what she is addicted to is mayonnaise. And she literally has mayonnaise on everything every day. So that might... I don't know. I mean, it's easy for her to give up. She's happy to give it up. But my point is this: the eczema and the sickiness that Ollie's had for the last sort of 6, 7, or 8 months.
It's all, it all ties in.
May well be down to the mayonnaise and amongst other things.
She could definitely get a vegan substitute for that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, because she knows now that... So the dairy's a weird one still. She's not allergic to dairy because they tested, but that doesn't mean it's not going to give her a bad tummy and reflux because they can't test for that. That's gastro rather than an allergy. So she can still... She can get back onto dairy now and see if it has any negative effects. And if it doesn't, then happy days. But obviously she's... If it was a choice of giving up dairy or giving up eggs, i.e. chocolate versus mayonnaise, then mayonnaise loses every time. She's happy to give that up.
Oh, well. I mean, so that's a shame, but at least you know now.
Yeah, and it's not a dead cert allergy for the rest of her life. Apparently, eggs is quite a common one.
Right.
I think quite a high percentage of children lose it within the first 3 years, and then only a handful of children keep it after 6 years. Most have grown out of it at 6 years. So they've already booked her in for another allergy test in 6 months to test again. To see.
So we're going to expect that one to be brought forward to what? Like next Thursday? Nope.
That's to test to see if she's grown out of the allergy test. Egg allergy, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I got you, yeah.
But
all right.
One more thing to mention on that, just in case anyone else comes across it.
Yeah.
Apparently, for whatever reason, whatever the connection might be, if someone has an egg allergy, they are also prone to developing nut allergies. So what they've told us to do, because they've tested her for peanuts and she's not allergic, they've told us to give her at least a spoonful of peanut butter 3 times a week for the next 6 months.
Oh, right, just to like try to build that up, that tolerance, to stop her getting an
allergy, basically. If her body keeps ingesting nuts, then it'll stop an allergy developing.
Right,
So that's not a bad medicine for her, is it?
That's all right.
Peanut butter 3 times a week.
Good.
Yeah, so
it's a good one.
So yeah, we're pretty happy with that. But I'll give you another allergy update if anything happens. Right, I think it's about time to board the plane and get on out of here.
Oh, God. That's your one for this week, is it?
That's my one. If anyone does want to get in touch with us, they can get us on the normal places. If you search for Two Men and Their Babies on Facebook, And on Twitter, it's at Two Men Podcast. Get in touch with us and send us a message. Say hello.
Say hi. Good.
Lovely. Right. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Nice talking to you. And I look forward to catching to you again soon.
All right, mate. I'll speak to you later.
Nice one. Catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.